Yesterday's crop progress report might have given a little bit change to what some folks might not have seen. We did see some decreases in some of the numbers, increases in other areas. So how did that weigh on the market today? Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network, and I'm Susan Littlefield. Mike Zuzulo joins us today. Mike is with Global Commodity Analytics. And let's kind of start out with this wheat complex. It has not been as big of a struggle, I think, as some thought it was going to be at the open of the day trade today. What is your takeaway of what we've seen in this wheat?
You know, wheat just can't make up its mind right now, Susan, on whether it wants to go lower on seasonals or wants to have and stage a counter-seasonal rally. And we've been dealing with this for now 3 weeks in a row. New monthly highs a week or so, almost 2 weeks ago, we made new monthly lows last week. And now we come into this week with the thought that the Israeli-Iranian conflict would not do anything too much to the energy prices. And the reason I'm going there is because it seems like the crude oil has been hemmed in by the whole commodity area and the whole commodity class by the funds not wanting to buy commodities. And yet what we saw on Tuesday's trade was a situation where by the time we got to the end of the trading day, the news was breaking that the U.S. may join Israel in trying to dismantle Iran militarily. And that gave us fresh highs in the crude oil. We were able to go back up above $74 a barrel and stage about a 3.5-4% rally. I think that was the key that unlocked the door to the wheat conditions, the wheat harvest progress numbers for Monday afternoon, and got us away from the negativity of the European and Black Sea markets that we had traded last week. And those crop conditions, especially dropping back down to 52%, not much better than a year ago at 49%, but in also very much especially the 10% winter wheat harvest compared to 25% a year ago in the country. And Kansas is really close to the national average. I think they were at 11%. Versus 25% a year ago. And now we see this major potential storm coming on Tuesday night, Wednesday morning. So that's probably the big thing to be watching here is the double-digit gain, the new high on the week that we put in on the soft red wheat, and the ability to get very close to last week's high of 557.75. Will we be able to go above that 557.75 on Wednesday because the storms were as bad as advertised and forecasted, or do we keep the market capped at that 560 area because the storms came through and weren't as bad? So that's probably the key for Wednesday's trade.
And, you know, it's so easy to get hyper-focused on your backyard. I know northeast Nebraska, I saw many pictures of cornfields and bean fields completely hailed out. But for most, this weather and the rain was welcome. Do we see a weather premium building back up as a talk of hot weather moving in and still the uncertainty about what the July-August weather is going to be like?
That's a great question. Right now, I don't see any mindset in the market to want to put any weather premium in the row crops and the corn and beans, and so that's why I'm focused so much on the wheat. In fact, I'm hearing that the heat, it's supposed to be coming after this big wave, this big cold front. Heat builds in the weekend, but it doesn't last much past the weekend. I think that's what we want to watch out for, as you say, as we get towards the end of the month. We get close to the acreage report, the grain stocks report. The trade is, I think, going to definitely be looking at the weather. And I think it makes sense that they would, because it has not been an ideal year, even though the crop progress numbers, planting progress, and ratings for corn especially are not much. They're exactly the same as they were last year at this time at 72% good to excellent. But I've got a lot of clients from Nebraska, Kansas, all the way through Missouri and into Illinois that have problems with corn, have problems with beans, have problems with too much rain, and even their soft red wheat now that's getting ready to be harvested. It's not about the hard red wheat only. I think we've got some issues with pest weights and quality issues may be coming here in the wheat complex as well, not to mention what you brought up, and that is the potential for the hail and the flooding. So I think the other thing that is really still on my mind is Brazil's only about 6% harvested. They're about 14-15% a year ago at this time. So if they stay delayed, that just means we garner more of the corn export market share for a longer period of time.
Do you see the excitement, Mike, continuing to build in the latter month soybeans as we see the opportunities coming our way?
I do, from the new biofuel policy that EPA put out, Susan. I think, you know, what I told clients as an analyst that was very nervous about the world ending stocks of soybeans being at a record and that record being built upon on the WASDE report last week, this biofuel change is by my calculations, about a 10% increase in the need for additional soybean oil for the biofuel policy that EPA put out. That essentially waxes your carryout of 300 million bushels and gives you about a 50, 60 million bushel carryout if that 10% comes all in 1 year. Now, if it's only 1 to 2% per year because of the RINs and how the imports are structured and that stuff that I'm wading through right now, then maybe we still do have more premium in those soybeans than we should at this stage of the game. But at 66% good to excellent versus 70% a year ago, I don't think we're near that 52 bushel yield yet nationally. So I'm going to give the beans a break. If I'm short or sold for clients, I'm going to stay in bought puts. I'm not going to try and risk any net sales in the cash market yet.
And let's look at it from what's going on in these livestock, especially the feeders. For so long, the word screwworm caused almost a panic upset within the market. And it just has kind of fallen by the wayside. And now they're looking for different things to grab onto for the negative trade we're seeing today.
Yeah, and there is some news out there. One of the Latin American news services that I subscribe to did give up some news that USDA specialists are in Mexico, are going to be in Mexico this week in terms of seeing the progression and the ability of the Mexicans on the equivalent of the Mexican USDA to get what they need to get done as far as cleaning up the screwworm and taking the number of cases down. The number of new cases, zero, is the goal, obviously. But this was a key step for the USDA to go down and inspect Mexico. It was a key step, one of the first steps in being able to lift that export suspension and open that border up. And I just feel like the funds have been so long in the fat cattle and the feeder cattle, especially while the fat cattle prices in the cash market support the futures. The feeders, I think, you know, probably a seasonal cycle time period probably needed something like the screwworm. So watching the charts here very carefully and very closely, because we've taken August feeders down 700 points as we closed out Tuesday's trade. That's a big, big move to the downside and could really open up the downside if we take out, since we've taken out 305, if we would take out that 302, 301 area, that could open us up pretty much to another $5 to $10 break, technically speaking.
Well, thanks so much, Mike. We really appreciate your thoughts on this Tuesday trade as we wrap it all up. Quick reminder to everybody, commodity futures and options involve a substantial risk of loss not suitable to all investors. That's the market wrap-up with Mike Zuzulo with Global Commodity Analytics right here on the American Ag Network.